We now bring to these microphones David James, a weekly contributor to Prophecy Today Weekend. We always discuss an issue that the body of Christ needs to have a biblical understanding of so they know how to make decisions, how to deal with that particular issue. We go to David. He's in Word of Life, Hungary, in the country outside of Budapest. He's been there for a couple of weeks, 3 weeks altogether in that part of the world, first in the Ukraine and then in Hungary for a couple of weeks, teaching several courses, one that connects to today's topic, an article which was released in Christianity Today. David, introduce it for us.
Yes, I've been teaching three courses, current theological issues, the Roman Catholicism, and a course on signs, wonders, and the charismatic movement. And the one on the charismatic movement is the one that connects to the article we're discussing today. There have been some changes made by the Southern Baptist Convention in connection with some of their policies concerning foreign missionaries. Specifically, there are several issues, but one of them relates to the matter of speaking in tongues.
Well, when we look at this particular issue, if you read the article, you'll find out they use acronyms IMB and SBC. Just remind us and clarify those acronyms for us.
Sure. The acronym SBC stands for Southern Baptist Convention. It's the largest denomination, largest Protestant denomination and largest Baptist denomination in the U.S. with about 16 million members. The IMB stands for the International Missions Board, and that is the Foreign Missions Service branch of the Southern Baptist Convention. And they have something like about 5,000 missionaries worldwide that they are connected with.
The rule changes that you're talking about, David, were a part of a process to simplify several rules as it relates to the Southern Baptist missionaries who go out to the world, guidelines for SBC missionaries. There's one of them that is of particular concern. We'll get to that in a moment. But first, let's focus on a couple of the others. One has to do with baptism. Now, what's the significance there?
Well, that's a very interesting one, considering the fact that we are talking about the Southern Baptist Convention, which has always placed a very high emphasis on baptism. Up till now, the rule was that Southern Baptist missionaries had to either be baptized within the Southern Baptist Convention or belong to a church and then baptized in a church that holds to Southern Baptist views on baptism. That has since changed. Now, the change is this. The only rule now is that you have to be baptized by immersion. But one of the other distinctives, that of believing in the eternal security of the believer, is no longer required. And another thing that is no longer required is not believing that baptism has something to do with contributing to salvation, which we would say the Bible doesn't teach, that it's simply symbolic of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. So that's fairly significant for the SBC to make a change like that.
Yeah, and it's a perfect example of obedience to the Lord to follow salvation by baptism, and that's a very interesting development there. Well, a couple of other rules are connected to the family, one related to marital status and the other having teenage children. Explain.
Right. Up till now, those who had been divorced were allowed to be short-term missionaries with the SBC, but with the new change, they are now allowing, under certain circumstances, for those who are divorced. And I don't think it says anything about remarriage, at least not in what I read, but for them to serve in longer-term capacities, depending on the situation. And then as far as teenage children is concerned, one of the things that Southern Baptist missionaries were not allowed to do is to take teenage children to the field because of the various problems that it can cause for older children. Actually, I think these changes are probably good. I think that I know of several situations where taking older children to the mission field have been very good, and particularly if you go to an English-speaking field where there aren't huge cultural changes and you can adapt into the culture. So I think those are probably some positive changes overall.
Well, as it relates to the children, but you're not saying it's positive that they changed their a doctrinal statement or ideas about baptism and eternal security, are you?
No, absolutely not. Those are significant issues that I think are problematic for the church as a whole.
David, I believe that the rule change of greatest concern to you and me has to do with the matter of charismatic worship and prayer practices. Talk to us about that.
Well, that's right. A number of years ago, in the mid, maybe around 2005 or so, Jerry Rankin, who was the head of the International Mission Board at the time, he claimed that he spoke in a private prayer language, and at that time there was a rule adopted saying that this would not be allowed. But then with this new change, now the SBC has once again opened it back up and saying that it is okay for Southern Baptist missionaries to do what they would consider is a practice of a private prayer language related to speaking in tongues as described in the Bible, is what we would say is a sign gift, and which I believe seized with the apostolic era in the first century.
Now, David, isn't this rule change related to speaking in tongues itself making some theological assumptions that are very problematic?
Well, it actually is. First of all, if you say that it's okay to speak in tongues, the first thing that you're assuming is that God is actually still giving that gift today. And if, in fact, he is not giving that gift today, and I do not believe that he is, then whatever is happening, whether it be in public or private, is not actually biblical tongues. So it's opening a door, a theological door, to some things that I would consider some very unbiblical practices, and simply leaving it open to the discretion of the individual to decide whether or not this is even from God or not.
Well, go a bit further here. Give us a couple of clear biblical reasons why you do not believe that they're speaking in biblical tongues, and in addition to that, why this practice is not for today.
Well, I'll tell you, one of the most significant things is that on the day of Pentecost, Peter was explaining the issue of speaking in tongues, and in doing so, he quoted Joel chapter 2, which talks about the day of the Lord. And what's so very interesting about that is in Deuteronomy 28, in Jeremiah chapter 5, and in Isaiah 28, all three of those are passages talking about the day of the Lord. And it has to do with the Jewish people in the context of the judgment of the day of the Lord coming. They will hear languages that they do not understand. And then Peter ties that directly to what happens on the day of Pentecost. So since we're now at a time where the day of the Lord has been set aside and we are in the church age, the purpose of speaking in tongues as a sign of judgment to the Jewish people has passed. And then the other thing is, in 1 Corinthians 14, that whole passage, I believe, has to do with a very strong argument that Paul is making against the church in Corinth, because those people are bringing practices from the mystery religions in Corinth, which is ecstatic utterances, and bringing those into the church, which was one of the reasons why he required an interpretation, because if it's ecstatic utterances and it's not biblical languages, it can't be interpreted. So those are just two very strong reasons why I don't believe that they are for today.
And I take that same stand as well as David does. And as I recall, you can correct me if I'm wrong, Joel chapter 2, starting verse 29, when it talks about the day of the Lord, doesn't say anything about speaking in tongues in that particular passage, which I thought was interesting. Doesn't this change by the Southern Baptist Convention represent a much bigger issue in the church today, David?
I would say it does, and not just for the Southern Baptist Convention, but for the church as a whole in America. And that is that, as we've discussed many times on this program, there is a convergence going on that I believe has to do, that will actually center around sign gifts and the misuse of sign gifts, and even false signs and wonders. And many of these things are being accepted into the church as a whole, not just in the charismatic movement, but are being accepted wholesale by many people who no longer really know what the Bible has to say about these things, and are not being taught and don't have a good basis for evaluating whether these things really are from God or whether they are not.
You know, David, in September, you'll be teaching this particular course, Signs, Wonders, and Miracles, and the Charismatic Movement, as a new addition to our list of courses in the PhD program, part of our curriculum for the School of Prophets. This is going to be a very valuable study, is it not, in our course there at the SOP, September the 8th through the 10th?
I really do believe it is, Jimmy. I'm really excited about teaching this course. You know, this is a course that I teach around the world. This is the third time that I've taught this particular course this year already, and then in September we'll make the fourth time. And I think it's going to be critical for our students, particularly in the doctoral program, to understand this, because with our studies in eschatological studies and our focus on dispensationalism, these students will see that this actually all works together in understanding God's program, understanding dispensational theology, and understanding where we're headed in these last days as we're moving toward the time when there will be false signs and wonders and many people will be deceived.
David is going to be teaching this course at the conference, the School of Prophets Conference, here in Chattanooga on September the 8th, 9th, and 10th. I'll be teaching a 10-part course on the kingdom that is yet to come. You don't want to miss this. Go to our website, prophecytoday.com. You'll see the banner above the website homepage that gives you more information. Click on that. The times, the prices, the location, etc., will be there for you. Well, David, continue on to reach out to those young people from around all of Europe, and in fact around the world, I guess, who are there at the Institute studying with you at the Word of Life Bible Institute in Hungary. Have safe journeys. We'll talk again next week.
Thanks so much. Look forward to next week.